Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. It's Election Day. Citizens around the country are participating in one of the most fundamental rights in a democracy, casting a ballot in a free and fair election. Regardless of who you're voting for, this election feels different from past elections. There are concerns around election integrity, when results will be known, and of course, who will be elected president. Today, we're not talking about candidates, policies, or politics. Instead, we're opening the phones for a virtual town hall on this Election Day. Does this election feel different from past elections? How so? Are you anxious? If so, how are you handling it? And are you prepared to wait days or even weeks to hear the outcome? You can join the conversation at 866-999-4626. We ask that you keep your political leanings, policy positions, and opinions about candidates out of the conversation. Joining us to talk about coping with uncertainty and the anxiety it can generate, we welcome back to the show Reverend Nell Fields from the Wacoit Congregational Church. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Jenny Putnam, licensed social worker. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
I'm so happy to have both of you here today. I feel like already I feel like I'm just breathing a big sigh of relief just having you present. So this election does seem different from past elections as we consider election integrity, the closeness of the presidential race, and the fact that we could be waiting days or maybe even weeks before a winner's announced. It can cause some real anxiety because the stakes are so high. So now what are you hearing from people in the community?
Well, I'm not only hearing, I'm seeing. People are very anxious, have that sense that they're not in control. And then I remind them, well, you're not really in control, only in control of how you receive information and how you behave on that. I think this election is fundamentally different because the shift in candidates during the summer upended everything that we considered was normal. This is the way things are supposed to be. And that ever since that shift happened, the anxiety level is very, very high. And it manifests itself in very interesting ways.
Don't you think the anxiety level, though, was high even before that happened? I mean, it was like we had two older guys and people were like, oh.
Well, it was, and we can also say that just with this 24-hour news cycle makes everybody anxious.
Yeah.
And we also have gotten to the point where we don't know what to believe.
Right.
And that's a big issue as well.
Yeah. Jenny, what are you hearing?
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. Like people are either absolutely certain that it's not going to be fair, or there's going to be a war, or there's going to be upheaval in some way. And so the closer we get to the day of, the more anxious people get. And so, as Nell just said, people turn off, or they become very angry and irritable, and there's more fights. Like you hear more about couples fighting, not about the election necessarily,
right.
Just about anything.
Because nerves are on edge.
Everybody's nerves are on edge.
And Jenny, just what you said, it's difficult for me to imagine that we are concerned about a war, we're concerned about conflict, we're concerned about people getting into fisticuffs. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
That's different from any time in our lifetimes.
That's
right. We all have some years between us, you know?
Thank you.
So one of the... Sorry. I meant me.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. So one of the things that we think, you just mentioned this, like people are a little more on edge and like couples are fighting. So I think we gotta give people a little bit, maybe give them a smile
a
or
grace.
Something.
Yeah.
Nell, you do something which I think is so fabulous, the free hugs. Tell us about the free hugs, because right now I think we could all use a free hug.
Well, I started this in 2012. It was a presidential election, and we are a polling place in Falmouth. And I was thinking, gee, what can I do to just let everybody know it's going to be okay? So I got a sign, and on the sign I printed free hugs, and I probably hugged about 90% of the people who voted that day. And I just continued with that. It's my way of saying it's going to be okay. And if people feel anxious voting, coming out and getting a hug from a minister, Oh, mm-hmm. They love it. They love it.
Yeah, and I think that the thing that's nice about that, A, I think we should all be offering everybody hugs.
Or smiles,
but
or hello.
Key,
or,
yeah. Smiles, yeah. Hello, a pat on the back. But the offering, obviously, offering, mm-hmm.
offering
hugs,
yes.
not just yeah. walking up to
some people
giving
are
hugs.
Not huggers. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, some people have trauma yeah. histories yeah. and don't like yeah. to be touched. But, yeah. you know, almost everybody, if you ask them, if they want some kind of physical touch, they yeah. will say yes.
Yes, yeah. yes.
A fist
yes.
bump, a high five.
Yeah.
yeah. When we're going through something stressful, it's human to seek out others who might be sharing concerns. And so I guess this is part of how we can help one another, the hugs, the smiles. And it could be something just so simple. I mean, I try to do this all the time. Anyway, you know, you're in somewhere and you know, the cashier or the waiter is like a little bit grumpy and yeah. you don't know what their day is, right? And
That's
I found when you just some, and I sometimes think people think I'm going to go, you know, your hair looks really nice today.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's funny. I said that to, I was getting coffee one day and the girl getting coffee, she was the cutest little thing and her hair, she had it like it was, I think it was gray on the top and black on the bottom. And I was like, oh my gosh, your hair is so striking. And she said, I did it myself. I said, you did? I was shocked that she did it herself. Yeah. And she said, thank you for saying though. I thought I messed it up. And she
wow.
looked adorable.
Wow.
So you never know. I
right.
mean, and a kind
right.
word can really make somebody's day.
Right, yeah. right.
And even if you see someone, especially at the end of the day, I find I sometimes will say, how's your day going?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if you get a,
yeah.
You can say, yeah, it's been a rough day. You yeah. know, you don't, yeah. you can acknowledge people that you see them.
Right.
You know,
right.
so many of us walk around feeling unseen.
Right. Yeah. And I think especially we have this understanding or this take that maybe we've lost our kindness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
how easy it is for all of us to spread a little kindness.
Yeah.
Right.
In the world,
yeah, I think you see it a lot in social media. The you know, the snarky remarks and I'm loving now that I'm seeing more people go, whoa, you know,
right.
what's
yeah.
do you have to be so mean or you know
yeah.
or just calling out that you know nasty comment that's
yeah.
out there.
Yeah,
yeah.
just yeah.
yeah. Okay, it's okay also to say I can't talk about this anymore. I need a break. Because I think probably we're all at that point. It's like been the topic of conversation everywhere. And at some point, you just need to kind of get some
well,
space.
And on one hand, it's good to talk about your anxiety. On the other hand, it's not good to talk about your anxiety if you're saying the same thing mm-hmm. over and over and over because you're talking yourself into deeper anxiety. I also tell...
And you're passing it on to another.
You're right? passing it on to another. And I tell friends and parishioners, I will listen to you, but I'm not going to respond. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know that I'm an active listener, but I'm not going to feed into your anxiety. And then after you say what you need to say to me, let's look at some ways of unraveling that and letting it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jenny, don't you think too, for some people, it they just want to be heard? I mean, like as Neil's saying, I'm going to listen to you. But I mean, for some people, it's like they don't always have that outlet to express what they're feeling.
Sure, and I do think outside of you know an office like mine, it is okay to say to someone, "You've told me this, you know, 5 times now. What is it that you want me to do?"
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a nice thing you can say. Let me think. It's 3 H's. Help, hug, help. Help. Wait. Help, hug, hear.
Hear. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to help, hug, or hear?
Mm.
And so, because people want different things, right?
Yeah.
But I agree. Boundaries are important.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Another thing we should think about, too, is... you're talking about putting our anxiety on somebody else. We also have that anxiety being putting on us by watching too much news.
Yes.
Or, you know, I was thinking about this just watching. Sometimes I watch the news and I see the New Hampshire political ads. Holy cow. These are the most awful people on the planet, right? I mean, it's like hopefully nobody votes yeah. because of ads, but they're playing off our fear, right? They're fear mongering.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing and with the news, you're not getting the whole story, right? With most of the television news, you're getting like more headline-ish and you're going, oh my God, what is happening in the world?
Right. And I've talked about this before that A, fear makes us get tunnel vision. And so we watch more, we become more vigilant when we're afraid. Yep. And television and social media knows this. Mm-hmm. And it's all about capturing your attention.
Manipulation.
And so mm-hmm. they are going for it. And if you listen to most American news, not WCAI.
Not WCAI, that's right.
You will hear something like, oh my God, it's election day.
Yeah. Right.
Or a gigantic killer storm is on its way.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And if you listen to BBC or,
right,
you know, yeah, CAI, you hear a storm is on its way, or today is election day.
Yeah.
And think about how all of you out there just heard those two things from me, mm-hmm, and the difference in your nervous system as you heard that.
Yeah. I started sweating right here in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you captured that well. Fear is a very interesting emotion. It's primal.
Yep.
And it doesn't take much to have a physical reaction to that.
Right.
And that once that fear kind of makes a little crack in you, I don't think the light gets inside. I think more fear gets inside. And as Jenny, as you said, then all of a sudden we're kind of attracted to the fear. And we had to be because it helped save us from the woolly mammoth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't need the fear now.
Right.
And if something is making you afraid, step away from it.
Right.
Step away from it.
That's right. We don't have tigers running at us.
Yes.
Also, emotions. When emotions are running high, that's not the best time to be making decisions on anything.
That's right.
You know, any time that you are emotionally overwhelmed, do not make a decision. I cannot tell you how many people I have seen whose spouses died, and then they sold their house and moved, and then they regretted it, or they immediately got into another relationship. It's not, you wait six months to mm-hmm. a year. And in these moments, when we are so afraid, mm-hmm. our prefrontal cortex is turned off.
Yep.
So on both sides of the aisle, you hear people saying, how could anybody
mm-hmm. that's right
ever
yeah that's
because
right.
we cannot have any empathy or understanding because our brains are turned off.
That's one of the reasons I did something this year that I've never done, and that is vote early.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to be stressed out the election day. I wanted to be able to calmly go in there, take my time.
I think a lot of people are doing that, which is good, because I'm not voting till this afternoon, so I won't have a line. My grandson wants to come with me. He's like, what happens when you vote? What is that like? So I'm
I'll
wait till you get out of school to vote, and you can come
that's
with
great.
Me. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Maybe there won't be a line. But Dan told me this morning when he went in to vote, there was quite a line. And I just got a note from Jenny. A listener shared that she got some comfort from going out to vote and seeing all the people doing the same.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
In New York, as soon as early voting started, the polls were filled and have been. It's been long lines.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you if you're feeling anxious. What are you doing? How are you calming yourself? 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It is Election Day, and we're hosting a town hall of sorts, an opportunity for you to share how you're feeling as ballots are cast in the 2024 presidential election. Joining us to talk about coping with uncertainty and the anxiety it can generate is Reverend Nell Fields from the Coit Congregational Church and Jenny Putnam, licensed social worker. We'd love to hear from you, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Couple of things that you can do when you're feeling anxious and anxious today, but anxious anytime. First one is breathe, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what a nice deep breath can do, or a couple of them, right? Just kind of calming you a little bit. And go for a walk. Go for a walk in the woods, at the beach, someplace. It's almost like a meditation, right?
Yep. And even I would say, because sometimes I was thinking about that, about doing like a very quick breathing exercise here. But often when you're as keyed up as people are right now, breathing, they can't. They can't do it.
Right.
And so a couple of other things. Yes, going for a walk or just getting out of the house and away from the television or the, you know, leave your phone at home can make a big difference. Being around other people can make a big difference. And there's a technique I'm going to show you two, and I'm going to talk through it. It's really quick. But you make your hand into sort of a fist.
Fist, okay.
It's part of the whole tapping. People know about tapping. Mm-hmm. So it's just the one part that I teach people. So you think about where your tie would be if you had a tie, where the knot would be, a little lower. And then you go a little bit to the left, and you just tap on your chest right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it so often, I can feel it immediately. But it really, really helps. And just... what you want to do, probably if you haven't done this before, is notice how you're feeling, tap for a minute, and then notice how you're feeling.
Right.
Because noticing yourself calming down also helps you calm down.
Aren't there some pressure points, too? Like, I know there's different things you can do, like, you know, rub your earlobe.
Yeah, there's a whole tapping routine, which I used to know and I don't know anymore, because I stopped teaching people all that because they wouldn't do it. But just the tapping on your chest. I mean, think about it.
We're gonna walk around town today and see people doing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Think about Tarzan tapping on his chest. If I watch the Celtics, I think you know I'm a big Celtics fan. And Al Horford, when everybody makes a good play, he taps them on the chest. I mean, there's lots of monkeys when they're getting themselves worked up.
Yeah.
It's a kind, or if you do Qigong, that's one of the Qigong spots that you do. So it's actually very helpful to tap on your chest.
And now you did a guided meditation at the church, and you have another one coming up. Yesterday, was that the first one you did?
Yesterday, we had our first one. Betsy West, who is a certified yoga instructor, and she has a yoga thing called Grace Yoga, she led us through a guided meditation, beautiful calming music, lots of candlelight. I mean, the whole vibe was very grounding for all of us. And then tomorrow, she's going to be doing guided meditation and tapping.
Oh, nice. There we go.
At 1 p.m., and it's absolutely free for anybody in the community. The exercise itself was really grounding for me, but the other thing I loved is being contained safely in a space with other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we were all in the same place wanting the same thing.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful.
Well, that's why we often do the over Zoom, and I was like, no, I need to go in and be around people.
Yeah. I like it. Got an email from someone in Dennisport. I'm voting after work so my 12-year-old can go with me, and I thought so I could give my 22-year-old and 18-year-old a ride. My 18-year-old should be voting for the first time, but he has declared he's not going to vote. I asked why, and he defiantly stated with a shrug, because I don't want to. I've never been so shocked. I can't get him to elaborate. I can't seem to convince him that the ballot questions need his attention. It's not just a vote for president. This is causing me the most anxiety and distress. Right now, I feel like a failure.
Oh, wow. You are not a failure.
Yep, nope.
You are wonderful and beautiful. And at some point, your kids are going to make their own decision. The fact that they are making their own decision, whether you like it or not, says that you've done an awesome job.
That's absolutely right. And I think that this is actually one of the most anxiety-provoking and difficult times for adults. I mean, for parents in general. I hear all the time that period when they're like 18 to 24 and starting to really do their own thing, it's always very hard to let go. So we all feel for you that you're going through that.
It's
tough. Okay.
Yeah. She reminded me, I used to bring my daughter with me when I voted when she was young. I mean, every time I can remember, I don't know what grade she was in, maybe third or fourth grade. And we were running across the parking lot, getting in there before the polls closed. And she's going, wait, do you have to vote? I'm like, of course you have to vote. And she goes, no, but I mean, is it a law? Because I was always adamant, you have to vote.
Yeah, I mean, it's a privilege. And I think that women and people of color are more likely to vote these days because we had to fight harder and longer to get that vote.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Martin. Martin Benz is giving us a call. He's the outreach coordinator at the Islamic Society of Southeastern Massachusetts. Hello, Martin.
Hi, Mindy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I know that a lot of Muslims are conflicted right now, and as the other callers, other speakers have said, some of the Muslims don't even feel like voting. It's hard for them at the moment. But I did want to say that one way we as Muslims cope is to remind ourselves of our faith in God. We try to remember that God, in God's omniscience, is, will do exactly what has to be done as it should be. And whatever the result, we remind our Muslim brothers and sisters to say what we say, Alhamdulillah, which means praise God.
Yeah.
And so on one side, we will thank God for continuing to bless America with hope, charity, and progress. And on the other side, we will thank God for drawing our attention to the enormous test we have as a nation because we lapsed in our care and compassion for each other. Mm. And yeah. So no matter what the result, we can counsel people to work harder for caring for each other wherever we live. Just as you mentioned, being kinder and caring for each other, I think that's going to be our mandate as human beings, no matter what the result. So, and I also want to say we also counsel people to be patient, because one of the things we said early in the show is that we should be patient, and that's a very important virtue in Islam, because we need to be patient through this crisis, and we'll be grateful for the blessings we have, and we'll ask for strength to carry on.
Right, yeah, right on. Yeah, all good points, Martin.
We can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it complicated because people are afraid to vote, or is it complicated because they're ambivalent or they feel like it doesn't matter if they vote? Like, what, when you said it's complicated, what's the main issue? What are the main issues for Islamic people voting?
Well, for Muslims around the country, it's been because there's been a lot of sensitivity about what's happening in Gaza, and who's really going to do anything about it. They mistrust some of the statements that are being made on either side, and so they feel that maybe they want to vote because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the Muslim leaders feel that there's one side that's going to be a little bit more open to compassion, even though it's not yet visible, but we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, Martin, thank you for calling and sharing that. All good points. Thanks for doing that. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. You know, Martin brings up a really good point out of all that. He says caring for each other.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, right? No matter what happens, if we all kind of have that mentality, it'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Yeah, and even if you really hate one political party or the other, the people in that party are not hateful. Mm-hmm. They love their children. They love their country. They love their pets. You know, they're people. They need to, you know.
I think this is where it gets difficult is you might have a family member or a colleague with a different political mm-hmm. view mm-hmm. who's supported whatever the other candidate is. What do you think of best practices for situations? You know, let's not talk politics. Let's agree to disagree.
Yep.
But sometimes, you know, some people just will not let it go. They want to convert you.
So what I do is I then become extremely curious.
Mm-hmm. Good
very
point.
Calm, good one. But very curious. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about why you are supporting this candidate. What is it about him or her that you really like?
Yeah.
And if they say something like, well, I like their policies, I would say, which policies are there that you like?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then you're calming yourself down, and you don't even have to really listen to what they're saying, but accept enough to give them, you know, ask more questions, because they, as we talked earlier, just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm. They want to be heard, and I think also they don't want to be othered.
So
when people talk to me about things that I may disagree with them, I just listen. And the other thing is, I know I always have something in common.
Absolutely.
And I believe at the end of the day, we're all in this together. So, you know, two things. I love seeing faith communities providing space for people to either meditate or to sing, to light candles. Mm-hmm. There's a church I know in Dennis Union is doing a candle lighting tonight at 7 to 8. South Church in Centerville is open for prayer today from noon to 3. One of the things that we're working on is a community dinner called One Table.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what happens, we're creating one table where we'll invite people, intentionally invite people, to a community dinner and just break bread together. Mm-hmm. Because regardless what happens, we need to start pulling together.
Right. You know, talking about some of the things faith communities are doing, and I was just thinking back to your guided meditation. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't even have to. You could be agnostic or an atheist. You can still go to these things, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And some of my colleagues, because this is a stressful time, are stressed out themselves. And I say to them, we have been called for a time such as this. Mm. This is why we went to seminary in the first place, is to open up our arms and hold our community together, that wider community.
Right.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. I also think you mentioned singing, and I want to put out there that recently I've been reading and seeing more and more that if you feel tense, to shake, shake it off, it releases endorphins and it can help like tense feelings. And singing and dancing are perfect. We should all dance our way through today, tomorrow, and the next few weeks.
Yeah. Well, you at services on Sunday, we sang and danced intentionally. Yeah. And we had a trombone and a saxophone player because, you know, you do need to do movement.
Yeah, exactly. When there's uncertainty in life, we can resort to imagining worst-case scenarios in our minds, and I think a lot of people are going there. Thoughts on how we can curb or tame some of those thoughts?
Gosh, this is such a hard one. It really is, because even as I was saying, you know, as we're talking about like shake it off or communal tables, there are people who will say, how can I sit at a table with someone who's going to X, Y, or Z in the future, right? And the thing that you have to do is really stay in the now. We're right now. We think maybe this is going to happen, but we don't know.
We don't know.
Politics is full of empty promises. And so we need to just be in the right now. And if something catastrophic happens, we deal with it when it happens. But, you know, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, of all places, saying we have robust systems. You know, we have robust systems. So let's just have faith in our robust systems.
And it kind of goes back to the conversation we're talking about. We can find something common. This past weekend, they had the Cape Cod Book Festival, first one. And Don Lemon was there talking about his new book. And he told this story. I forgot. I think he was in Wisconsin. I can't remember. And he is knocking on doors. And this guy said, yeah, you don't want to talk to me. Right. And Don's like, why? Why don't I want to talk to you? And the guy, he's like, I'm very conservative. And, you know, and he must, you know a little about Don Lemon. Yeah. But he said they ended up having this great conversation on what they had in common.
Right.
Ended with a hug.
Oh,
right.
Love that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a psychotherapist, you're going to get people with all kinds of different ideas in your office. And what you very quickly learn is that we all are fundamentally just human beings.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And and I also like to believe, people say I'm a little naive, but I like to believe that we all basically want the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we all want to feel safe. We want to feel welcomed. We want to feel like we belong.
That's right. And that's been a lot. I mean, I think that a lot of the divide has been because of the switch to, I mean, this is a long time coming, but televisions and social media where, you know, that Bowling Alone book. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh,
where we don't have these robust social systems anymore.
What's fun about Bowling Alone?
right. So for those of you who don't know that book, it's about how there used to be things like bowling leagues, which I assume there still are. But there were many, many, many of those sorts of things.
Right.
So everybody was part of some group thing they did together, and then slowly but surely we have stopped doing most of those things. So most of us spent evenings alone at home,
and this whole just political polarization that we see, and it just blows my mind when you look at Washington, and it's like the opposite side is the enemy, and we're all Americans. We all want, you know, the country to thrive. I mean, I don't understand where that, you know, polarization came from. I think it used to be, you know, they did their disagreements on the floor or whatever, and then they would go have a beer.
That's
that doesn't
right.
happen
That's
anymore.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, there was a friendship and an empathy for, you know, I might not agree with you, but I see you as a human. And now it's like, nope, you're the enemy.
And I think that's why it's so important on a local level yep. that we start embracing this concept of one table and a large community. Every now and then I'll get a phone call about the rainbow flag that we have flying under the American flag. And the people who call will start off being very angry. And I say, hey, would you like to come over and have a bottle of root beer with me? Because you can't be mad at each other when you're having root beer.
Yeah.
And
it's also much harder when you're face-to-face.
Face-to-face,
it
absolutely.
Is. It is. Yeah. And when they hear my story, I grew up in the military. I'm a big supporter of the military. We have so much in common. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the guy said, you know what? I guess that rainbow flag isn't all bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Said, no.
I also find, too, that, you know, sometimes when you get like an angry email or you
yes.
say an angry message in the
yeah.
phone, when you call them back.
Oh, my gosh.
Call
yes.
them back. Oh, I'm sorry. I was a little heated yeah. in the moment. But you're yeah. right. Either that face or just that human contact. It's a different conversation.
It is. And yeah. and we need to initiate those.
And also, I think because some of us don't get the phone calls because we don't have a public space. But if you are in the grocery store parking lot and somebody like screams at you about how you're parked or something and you say, you know, have a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard. It's hard yeah. to do when someone's yelling at you in yeah. your face. But and I have, you know, I had to practice that for a long time for yeah. my profession. But to try that. And I think the more we do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah. Right. And that just illustrates that why we're having this conversation right now. People are on edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen people behave badly.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, did you know your mother not hug you when you were a child? I mean, whatever that person is going through, it's intense enough that they're driving erratically, mm-hmm. They're being mean, they're doing hand gestures that they shouldn't.
Yes.
And I'm thinking,
road rage,
man,
yeah.
I had a, maybe I already told the story in another thing, but I had a truck driving behind me and I stopped to let someone in on
mm-hmm.
28.
Yeah.
And he honked his horn.
Like, how dare you?
And so I did what I often do, which is turn around and wave to acknowledge I yeah. heard it, which is a little aggressive, but yeah. also I'm trying to say, hi, I'm yeah. a person, I get it,
yeah.
I,
yeah.
hi.
Yeah.
And so then I stopped again for another person, and he went crazy, honking, hand gestures that were not appropriate. And so I pulled over, and I let him pass. You know, it's yeah. like, and I saw right. war veteran on the back, and I thought, oh.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
His nervous system is completely dysregulated.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. yeah. There's so yeah. much, and there's so much anger people have, you know,
yeah.
and so little things like that, that would, you would think, why would
someone? Yeah, I'm being nice to someone.
I'm the same way. I'm like, just pull over, you
yeah.
know, it's like, let them pass because I don't want them on my bumper anyway. So
right.
it just makes me nervous
right.
driving. So I just pull over. And
I'm not saying that I didn't get worked up by him honking at me twice. Mm-hmm. I did. But you practice not acting on that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. All right. We are talking about coping with uncertainty and the anxiety it can generate. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. And we'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point, and this is Election Day. We're hosting a town hall of sorts, an opportunity for you to share how you're feeling as ballots are cast in the 2024 presidential election. With us is Reverend Nell Fields from the Occoquan Congregational Church and Jenny Putnam, licensed and social worker. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Allison is giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Allison.
Hi. So it's interesting because I've been dealing with some like post/long COVID health issues, and I've tapped into this recovery community of people who have either are or have recovered from long COVID, chronic fatigue, other chronic illnesses. And it's all about the nervous system.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's just kind of amazing the parallels, like that you know, the doctors do all the tests and they're all perfect and fine, and yet people feel horrible. And yeah. And so the way that people are recovering is, I mean, they call it brain retraining, and it's literally like learning to actively calm your nervous system. And because, you know, we're just in fight or flight all the time. And when you're, you know, being chased by a tiger, you're not digesting well, you're not really planning ahead, you're not like, you know, you're just go, go, go. And and that really does a number on your, you know, blood pressure and your heart rate and blah, blah, blah. And so some of the techniques, you've talked a lot already about some, you know, the tapping and the breathing and the meditation and all that. And one additional one I just wanted to throw out that has really resonated for me was when you start to go down this spiral of despair and negativity and, oh my God, the world's going to end if my candidate doesn't win or whatever it is. You literally put your hand up and just gently say to yourself, stop. I choose to feel, or I choose to believe. And then you say something positive, and you sort of have a few positive things in the hopper that you can you can quickly bring in, and also some positive things to visualize, and just take a minute to just, you know, breathe and do that, and just literally like stop the runaway train of because worry does nothing. You know, worry does not change an outcome. All it does is make you feel bad.
Make you feel Allison, I'm so glad you called, because you are bringing some, I'm a huge believer in positive thinking. I feel like you think it, I mean, it's like you think it happens, right? You think the worst, maybe. I don't know if that happens, but and it is, you sleep better, you know, you're not worried. You go, okay, you know, well, as you said earlier, Jenny, anything could happen, right? We'll worry about that when it happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Allison, thank you for the call.
There's an even more advanced way of doing that. Do you mind if I...
Yeah, no, go right ahead.
Where you, so if that's not working for you, which I, first of all, just keep practicing it, because practice makes perfect.
Yep.
But another way of doing exactly the same thing is you take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the center and you write the thought. The thought might be, so I'm going to use not an election-based one, but the thought might be, I'm a horrible person. Or nobody loves me. And then you write a positive thing on the other side. So you say, well, I think my dad loves me. Then you write again, if it's still there, you write, nobody loves me. And then you write a positive thing on the other side. And you keep going until you just have run out of your, that part of your brain that keeps saying no one loves you is like, fine.
Okay, it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. I encourage people, you know, it takes work. And so, of course, people are not likely to do it. But I don't recommend anything to anybody that I haven't tried. And it's kind of amazing how eventually you get to this point where that voice just says, fine.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of funny that we're talking about all of these things and these practices and positive reinforcement for one day. This really should be a way of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I keep saying practice. I mean, if you're just starting today, a lot of these things are not going to work as well for you as if you've been practicing them.
Well, and just talking about working well, I mean, mindfulness and meditation, if you're a person that is in, and they're not exactly the same thing, but I can remember when I used to meditate daily, I have to say I've been kind of lax, but it's amazing how things will happen in your life and you're like, it just kind of rolls off you. And I've been chuckling. Why am I not upset about this? And for what it's you, it's just, I don't know, a more accepting frame of mind or something. But it the power of that is amazing, and I'm loving that they're teaching kids mindfulness in school.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too. We had Calmer Choice do some DEIB training with us to use mindfulness for those deep, difficult conversations, and. What an incredible way to approach equity and diversity is through deep listening. So I'm all about that.
Yeah.
And it's sort of counterintuitive that you're doing that. I want to go back to the exercise that Jenny had us do on that tapping. Because when I was tapping and I felt great, thank you, but I also felt some sadness come up. And During the break, I was thinking about, you know, the sadness I feel is how did we get here? And I love our community so much, and I love our country so much. It just makes me feel a little sad that we're at tension and at odds. So, Jenny, talk about the different emotions that would come up.
So I think that one of the things, because although I often talk about all of these emotions as being just basic mammalian emotions, humans are actually more complex and have more complex brains than most mammals. And so we can use anxiety and fear to mask other feelings. We can use sadness to mask other feelings. But so when you address one feeling, often a different feeling will come up. And so I think that if you're tapping and you start feeling like you're falling apart sad, stop tapping. Stop tapping. Yeah. You know, I think that fear can come up. So anxiety and fear are slightly different. And so more fear-based feelings can come up. Sadness can come up. I mean, these are the basic things.
Also, I mean,
loneliness. Yeah. I mean, and all kinds of things.
And there are triggers, right? I mean, depending on what our histories are. And body never forgets the trauma,
right?
So all of a sudden you're having this conversation, you're doing, you're going, why am I shaking? Or what is happening? Because your body, your mind may have for the moment forgotten it, but your body hasn't forgotten it.
That's right. So another tapping exercise, by the way, is called the butterfly. So you put your thumbs together like you make a butterfly, like on Zoom we older people. And you just tap back and forth. So you're getting bilateral stimulation. And again, some people come into my office, they do this, and they feel like, oh, I just want to do this all day. And some people come in and it dysregulates them. Mm. So again, notice what's going on in your body and do what's right for you.
Yeah. At some point, we're going to know the outcome of the presidential election. In that moment, half the country is going to feel victorious. The other half is going to feel defeated. What should we keep in mind regardless of the outcome as we navigate this?
Number one, don't be mean.
Right. Don't be mean. That's a good one.
I think I wish we could get to the place that it wasn't such a dichotomy, like winners and losers.
Right.
Can we all be winners on some level? Because regardless of who does win the elections, because there's more than just the presidential, we all need to start working together. And I'll reemphasize, it happens, it starts on a local level, because I think sometimes we give way too much power, give up too much of our power to candidates, whereas, no, we're the ones who are in charge of our own life, and we have to get to work. This division that we think we have in the country didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It's been going on a long time, and I can't get my head around it, but I can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I can move forward with creating some local events that the intent is to bring people together.
Yeah, so for everybody, one of the biggest triggers for anxiety is feelings of helplessness.
That's right.
So there's been lots of studies around this. And while we're not like, the famous one is dogs stuck in cages in a difficult situation, but we're not that. There are ways that we are, you know, there are things that we have no control over in this world. There really are. But there are also things that we do have control
over. That's right.
But even the things we don't have control over, we do have control over how we react.
How we react to it is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, organize or garden. You know,
or join a choir.
Join a choir. Do something small that you feel like is making the world a little bit better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Christine writes, I woke up this morning so grateful that I have my weekly music classes tonight.
Yes.
I am definitely the person who would sit in front of the news for hours, but I can't think about anything else when I'm playing music. It's a form of meditation. So true.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So there's lots of forms of meditation. Like we said, the walk on the beach or the woods or the singing or the dancing. Mm-hmm. And you know what does it for you?
And I think also it's going to be hard because often people who live together have different ideas. So my dad is someone who has to watch the news to bind his anxiety. Mm. That's how he keeps calm. He likes to be grumpy and yelling at the television. He likes that. And if he's not watching and following it, he gets more anxious. I, on the other hand, like, I'm not going anywhere near his house today. I need to be away from it. I want to wait till tomorrow morning and see what happens.
Well, and you said of your friends, you're the calm one in the group because you aren't watching the news.
I'm the calm one. And so they're like, you don't know what's going on. And I'm like, tell me something that I don't know that's going on. Because you cannot escape the news in our current culture. And so I do actually know a lot about what's going on, even though I actively avoid the news.
Right. And I think if you're a person who's watching the news and you're getting really upset, take a break.
That's right. That's right. Take a break. I also want to do a shout out for pets.
Oh.
Because,
my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Well. And studies show that when you pet a dog or a cat, your anxiety, your heart rate go down. So,
I just saw a wonderful article about homeless cats being brought into prisons.
And the
prisoners have to behave a certain way, you know, like not get in fights or whatever, in order to adopt one of the cats. And then that cat is theirs. And the violence has gone way down in that prison.
Yeah. They have this wonderful program on the Cape called Companion Animal Program. And they we've partnered with them, and they bring their pets in to be trained. It's such a fabulous program that, like, who doesn't want to pet a nice little dog or a big dog? It just brings so much joy and calm and connection for people.
And for most people, the act of taking care of another being is also very calming.
Yes.
And who's there wagging their tail when you walk in the door, no matter what kind of day? Even if you left in the morning being kind of grouchy, the dog does not hold a grudge.
That's
cat,
right.
Maybe.
Cats do. I have cats, and they definitely do, and they boss me around a lot. Yeah. I wouldn't say unconditional love from my cats.
And I also want to say something about eating and drinking lots of water. I have found in the past couple of days I've been maybe doing some anxiety eating. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to allow myself to have another grape. You know, I'm not going to beat myself up over it. But do drink lots of water if you feel a little out of control. And if you need to eat something, that cookie that you said you weren't going to eat, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Nell said it's okay to
have
that cookie.
It is okay. Yeah. I will say that one of the things I think that we learned as a country over the pandemic is maybe don't have that third drink to calm yourself down.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah. So final thoughts. We got about a minute and a half left. Nell, final thought from you.
Hang in there, everybody. It's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. And if you want a free hug, as soon as I'm done with this radio station, I'll be on the campus of the Wacoit Congregational Church in East Falmouth.
And she gives good hugs. Jenny?
I would say it's okay right now. Mm-hmm. And just be okay that it's okay right now.
Yeah.
And get hugs if you can. And if you can't, pet a cat. And if you can't, hug yourself.
Love hugging.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
All right, Jenny Putnam, licensed social worker, and Reverend Nell Fields from the Wacoit Congregational Church. And for those of you who do want the news, we will have election coverage tonight beginning at 8 o'clock, along with NPR. NPR will handle the national stuff. We'll handle the local stuff.
Very calm voice.
In very calm voices. and sometimes some humor as well.
Nice.
So, yes. I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.